before we get started this morning, we have a quick announcement from my wife about some of the stuff going on with Rise Nations, and then we're going to get into the Word of God. But let's just pray as she comes up. Father, I thank you that you are good. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. For you really are good, because you really are God. All hail King Jesus. So we thank you, Father, for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, you're disappearing?
Yep.
Then I get to take up all the time that I need and want. No, we're just really thankful to have a home church that we get to call home, and that is in the same love and support and love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And that is just so encouraging to come back off the mission field and into the house of God feeling refreshed and regained. But as we were ministering this scripture, I was meditating on being in the house of the Lord together. And in Hebrews, it talks about not forsaking this. And I was actually thinking of, like, how many of us in this room, I don't know everyone. I think I know the majority, but I'm sorry if I haven't gotten to know you or to say hello to you or have a meal with you, because that's what the body of Christ is for. And so I'm going to take this time to have you turn around to some stranger that you haven't met before and greet them with a handshake or, you know, as my dad used to do, a holy kiss. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. See, isn't that so much nicer, getting to meet everyone that's you're sitting amongst and getting to fellowship and worship God together? How much nicer is that you get to know each other that well? Now, the person that you said hi to take out to lunch. I'm just kidding. So to further into that, Hebrews starts off, it actually is labeled in my Bible in the Amplified Version as a new and living way. So this is Hebrews 10:19 through 25. I told you I was going to take my time. So it says, therefore, believers, since we have confidence and full freedom to enter the holy place, the place where God dwells by means of the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way which he initiated and opened for us through the veil as the Holy of Holies. That is, through his flesh, and since we have a great and wonderful priest who rules over the house of God, let us approach God with a true and sincere heart in unified assurance of faith, having had our hearts made clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us seize and hold tight the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. Let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and do good deeds, not forsaking the meeting of togetherness as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as we see the day of Christ's return approaching. And so I felt like that scripture just like engulfed everything that this church is about and what Jared and I are about. And it's going out and doing good deeds around the world, helping others, and coming and remaining in a house that loves the Lord and that we can fellowship and live in the new way, His way. Amen. So, with that, right? How many of you know Rise Nations? Jared and I started a missionary organization over 3 years ago, and I grew up a missionary. Your microphone's still on, so you can't make comments like that. My parents were missionaries, so this is just one of my dreams come true, is walking in His ways all the days of my life. And so we are so thrilled that even though we are here, our projects don't stop. The finishing up of the Poland home for Ukrainians is still being completed, and I think they're on stage of painting the walls now. And so how many of you want to go back? We want to go back and be with them and celebrate with them. And we've even been invited to do youth camps for the Ukrainian families, their children, over the summer, because there's beautiful property there that we can celebrate them and celebrate life with them. And then in India, that mission's not stopping. That we're feeding children and street families that, you know, in India, it's not usually by choice that they're there. It's by caste system. So wherever you're born, that's where you are stuck. And that's not the way that we believe, but that's the system that they're in. And we get to bring hope to them and hope to the hopeless and give them food and shelter. And that's what the project there is about providing a place for them to fellowship and not forsake the gathering of the saints. And Jeremy, do you want to give a testimony? Of the trip coming up?
I guess hello everybody. I'm Jeremy. Me and Jared are going on a trip to India. I'm not fully sure of what we're going to be getting into yet. I'm sure he has all kinds of things in store. But a quick testimony is that I've done little to no outreach as far as asking for money for this next trip coming up, just praying that God will provide and, you know, working. So I'm going to India with Jared, and I have money coming in already. I think my ticket alone is, my ticket alone is paid for already, so we're still paying for other little stuff, but, yeah, it's happening quick. So we're leaving September 30th. 29th, sorry.
So, yeah, we're really excited for that Jeremy and Jared get to go there, prepare the way for bringing a big team in the early next year. Other trips to look forward to, we're planning a trip to Los Angeles where we get to do street evangelism and feed some of the people that are on Skid Row and tell them about Jesus, to go into underprivileged neighborhoods and do kids ministry and outreach. And this is ministries that have been going on for 25 years and we know and love and are so excited to be back with and to support. So so look forward to those new schedules coming out for Mission Trip next year. So we're really excited to be with you guys and to pour that out. And if you want to go on a trip, we have in the back, you can fill out your email and your contact information, and we'll send you the application to go on one of our mission trips. And we're just so excited to be together with you and to be able to support all those around the world and tell them about Jesus. Yeah. Amen?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Last thing I got here really is if you're not partaking in the morning 9 o'clock classes, whether Pastor David's class is supernatural or Rich and Diane up here, it's food for you. So I go to them when I can. They're great places to be, to absorb what God has, to be taught, to be ministered to. The Bible says, imitate those who have gone before you. And, you know, not knocking any ages, but you guys have gone before some of us. You know what I mean? And so it's a great place to get resourced. And Rich handed me this morning, and in starting September 17th through basically Christmas, Diane will correct me probably if I'm wrong on any of this, they're going to be going through the book of Acts. Or as Rich told me this morning, he likes to say the book of us. which really is a modern church and what us should be doing, as I speak in improper grammar. But it's the church of us, right? The Holy Spirit poured out and all those things that come with that. So I strongly encourage you to get to his class coming up, and Pastor David and Nolia's as well. He asked me if I could teach one of the classes, and I was bummed because I'll be in India with Jeremy, so I'm not really that sad about it. But, you know, I talked to Josh and Elaine before today about sharing about what we're doing, and he gave me the go-ahead. And I just wanted to encourage you, if you don't know who we are or want to find out more, like Charlene said, there's sign-ups in the back. Sometimes I forget, because this is home. And I forget that we do different things, and so just... You know, I do. I forget. My wife's like, yeah, I'm not surprised you forget stuff. I have selective forgetting. You've heard of selective hearing. I have selective forgetting. So anyway, that be said, I'm probably just going to pray again after that. But feel free to reach out to, if you have questions about the classes, I'm sure they can field questions for you. And it's a good place to be. So Father, I do thank you. Now, while we were singing the song, Lord, I wrote down, all hail, King Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. All hail, King Jesus, the Savior of the world. And Father, I know that you saved us. You saved us through your Son, the blood of Jesus and his resurrection, so that you could pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, that we could receive you. Receive your Holy Spirit. Be sealed into the day of redemption. Lord, prepare our hearts now. Actually, no, Father. Give us the grace for us to prepare our hearts to receive from you. And Lord, I ask to be my words in this very moment. As your word says, that the Holy Spirit will give you utterance in that very hour. And I thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. Josh also told me when I spoke to him that I had 3 extra hours today to minister to you on this great weekend. I'm joking. I'm glad you're here, as it's a holiday weekend, so I know you're the real saints, just so you know. So all your friends, no, I'm just joking. You got to have fun in the house of the Lord, right, John? You just got to enjoy God. You got to dance. You got to sing. You got to praise. You got to be in him because he's in you, right? When he poured out his Spirit into your life, when you receive him, when you say, I believe Jesus, I believe you are who you said you are. I believe that you're the Son of God, that you were raised from the dead. There's the gospel. Do you believe? And if you believe that, you've been filled with his Spirit, sealed to the day of redemption, to do something with your life. Not what you think you should do, although we get caught up doing that sometimes, but what he thinks you should do. And as I was preparing for today, I just kept hearing the word Matthew. You know, sometimes for you, when you're spending time in prayer or talking to the Lord, I don't know about you, but he'll give me a word, or he'll give me a page, or he'll give me something. He doesn't really give me, hey, I want you to learn about X. He says, Matthew. So I opened the Bible to Matthew, to where I actually had a bookmarker, and it wasn't about where I read. It's about taking us to a place where we can get alone with him so that he can speak to us. Sometimes we got to remind ourselves to do that. We need to let him take us to a place that he can be alone with us so that we shut off around us and don't try and figure it out, but just be in him. The greatest place you can ever be is in him, because he's in you. And as I was preparing for today, I just kept hearing Matthew, so I went to the Sermon on the Mount. I like the red words. In my Bible, I'm still trying to get my wife to us old school folks. This is my choice over a phone or a tablet. In a pinch, I'll use it. I'll use it to do some research maybe, but this is... You know, I could shut off your power and take your phone away, and you have no access to the gospel. I'm not going to go to your house and take your books away, although that could happen someday, who knows. But you know what I mean? It's good to have something. There's something about a tree that had life that produced these pages. You know what I mean? We're likened to trees all the time, so I might as well be like one and be in one. You know what I mean? So I got this word for you today, and I just believe that God's going to do something because I have no idea, other than the fact that there's this one theory, this one reality that keeps going around in my heart over and over for the last bit of while, which is about the kingdom of God and about what Jesus taught us and about what he said for us to do. And if you, I was having a conversation with my mom last night. I just love my mom's in town from Kansas. Everyone give her a hand. She's right there, grayish hair. She's about 5'4". It's nice. But we're having this conversation. I was like, you know, if you just removed all the blank, if you had a Bible like mine, okay? It's hard for you to see maybe. Mine, whatever Jesus said is in red, okay? Is anyone's Bible like that? Even if it's not, just bear with me, right? If you had a Bible that, Pastor David's got one. If you had a Bible and what Jesus said was red, if you removed all the black letters, what was said in red is enough to keep you busy the rest of your life pursuing him. Now, don't remove all the other letters. That's all important. It's literally Jesus written in book form, written down so that you and I have food for our spirit, that we can live for him because we've got something that was written. God gave us something, and then he's going to give us more. But we got to be hungry and willing to go to those places. And I know that sometimes we don't feel like it. I don't always feel like praying. I don't always feel like being in the Word of God. I'm just being honest. But it's not about how I feel. We got to remember that the spirit and the flesh are at enmity with one another. Of course you don't feel like meeting up with friends sometimes. Of course you don't feel like reading more. Of course your eyes get heavy when you start to read the Bible. I used to fight that at the beginning of my walk all the time. I'd start reading the Bible, it's like slamming eye shut disease. You know what I mean? You've seen your, I'm laughing because our dogs were in the car the other day. We went hiking with the dogs and Ernie and Tammy, and we had so much fun doing that. But the dogs on the way home, you know, you're sitting in the sun, the Word of God, and you get warm. But I get in the presence of God, I get warm. I feel his presence. I know he's there. It's comfortable. It's peaceful. Right? You're like, oh, Lord, I finally got sat down to spend some time with you. That's what my dogs were doing on the way home last night. You know, they're tired. They're in the sun. They felt the warmth. Mom's dog was like, he was out within seconds. And some of us go out within seconds when we try and tune into what God's saying to us. We shut down. We don't want to hear it. This has nothing to do with the word I want to bring, but it was just this reality hit me. That how many times do we allow ourselves to shut down instead of wake up? I do it sometimes. You know, I go to read the word and I'm like, I'm going to read this whole chapter today. And I get distracted. I get distracted. And distraction brings tiredness because I'm overworking my brain. And it's Labor Day, right? This is tomorrow's Labor Day. This is Labor Day weekend when we all get the one day off that it's about you who've worked your whole life, right? Or are going to work your whole life, or have worked your whole life, wherever you're at in that walk, right? This is a day for you to have a day of rest. And the nice thing about Labor Day is you get to rest. So rest in him. You can actually have a Labor Day every day by being in him. And so I want to talk to you today about, you know what, we're just going to read the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7. It's a very famous scriptures. Ask, seek, knock. Right? For those of you who don't know, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is getting towards the end before Jesus says, on this rock I'll build my church. And he said, not that part, but about the fact that when you build in him, your house won't fall. right? But before that, he says, ask, seek, knock. Matthew 7, starting in verse 7, says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what is a man there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Right? If my wife asks for bread, I'm not going to give her a stone. Well, I may jokingly, but not seriously. You know what I mean? You know what? And it goes on to say, or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask of him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. I find the end of this little piece very interesting. It talks about asking and seeking and knocking and finishes with, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. This is the law and the prophets. Now, I'm going to tie that in a minute, but I've got a few more scripture verses that we're going to go to. I'm going to go through how to ask, seeking, and knocking. It's just a word that God gave me. And for how to ask, we're just going to go to James 1, verse 6. Actually, we're going to go Matthew 21 and 22, verse 21, chapter 21, verse 22. My tongue will catch up with my brain in a minute. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. Again, this is Jesus speaking. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Do you believe? Do you believe that when you ask from him, you'll receive it? James chapter 1. Again, some famous scripture verses. James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. It says this. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Now, how many of you have asked something from God, but you really weren't convinced he would answer you? Seriously, like five of us? You all need to start praying. You know what I mean? But seriously, how many have asked and like, you've been there, right? Like, you're like, Lord, maybe you're praying for someone's healing. Maybe you're believing for something for yourself. Maybe you're praying for your kids or your loved ones or your friends or whatever the case. And you're praying for them and you're like, Lord. And after you prayed, you're like, yeah, that was a good prayer. But immediately you're like, I'm not even sure I believe it myself. Have you been there? I've been there. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've been there. I prayed for someone before, and nothing. I prayed for healing. Nothing was happening. You know what? If I was honest with myself in the moment, I wasn't believing that it would happen myself. Now, who's wrong, God or me? This guy. Who's got two thumbs and is wrong a lot? This guy. Why? Because he said it. I didn't say it. He said it. If you ask and believe, you shall receive. It's not an if or a when. It's a fact. Now, I'm a scientist by nature, right? An engineer by nature. The truth is, I deal in facts. Because if it's not fact, I'll find a way to debunk it or I'll figure out how to prove it, right? That's like a scientific process, right? And so what happens is when God speaks, I can't argue it. Why do we do that? I'll give you an example. We lack faith sometimes. Now, I'm a huge faith guy. I believe in everything. But I also know that I got to convince this guy that I believe what I believe. And once I finally actually am convinced, it moves from here to here. That's called revelation. And when you begin to believe and not doubt, he'll give you the answers, the desires of your heart, and then more than what you could ever ask, think, or imagine, because he's good, because he loves you. But you've got to ask and not doubt. Otherwise, you're a wave tossed to and fro. You're not going to get what you think. Now, God does it anyway sometimes because he's that merciful and gracious. You know what I'm saying? I prayed prayers of faith that had no faith, really. You know, I remember the first time Vaughn called me up I'd been at the church not even that long. It's not long after you baptized me in the Holy Spirit, Diane. And Vaughn called me up, and I'm like, he's going to come up here. He doesn't know what he's going to do. And I'm like, yep. That old donkey, right? Like, here we go. And I'm standing up here, and I remember looking across, and it was just, there's a bunch of pastors actually up here. And Vaughn said, they're all going to pray for your healing. I didn't even know if I believed it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm new. Not new to God. I'm new to the things of the Spirit. I was raised in the church. I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 9. I walked away. I turned my back. He never turned his back on me. But when I was ready and turned my back turned my face towards him, he answered me immediately. And I had the faith of a mustard seed. God, I know you've always been there. I give you my life. I had that much faith. And he showed up, and he met me where I was, and he radically changed my life and changed everything about me to the point that I'm going to the nations with Jeremy for the, I don't know how many times he's been. I've been like three, this will be my third trip. Has nothing to do, if you ask me, when before I asked Jesus and surrendered my life to him, not just like, Lord, be my Savior. No, be the Lord of my life. And when I did that, he came in. He answered. I asked. He answered. You've got to be willing to ask, but willing to ask from a place where you're empty, where you don't have your preconceived conditions, where it's, Lord, would you do this? And I don't care how you do it or what you do, because what you do is better than what I could ever ask, think, or imagine. And he brought me up, and I stood right here. I actually think this is the exact same spot I was almost standing. I remember Tony Rayola was there, and I think Rich was standing right there. And no one came up to me. And now it's like, you know, I'm new to all this, and it was kind of embarrassing. I wouldn't have come up to me, let's be honest. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't probably have come up to me. But there's one lady who came up to me, and she said, would you pray for my kidneys? And I said, sure. And I remember laying hands on, I was like, can I touch your back? I didn't know what I was doing. Do you understand? You don't have to know what you're doing to trust him. You don't have to know what you're doing to ask him. He'll give you the answers in the right time, at the right place, in the right moment for you to have everything you ask for when you need it. You just got to be willing to ask and then move by faith and trust that he is God and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Ask, seek, knock. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I stood up here with the faith of a mustard seed, maybe less, to be honest. And I laid my hands on her back and I said, be healed in Jesus' name? It was a question. I didn't say it with the faith of like, God's going to heal you. I believed it because it's in his word. I can't argue with the fact that Jesus said, I'm going to give you my spirit and put in you the very same spirit that raised me from the dead. And you've been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. And then gave me instructions to lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, make disciples. So just because my mind can't figure it out doesn't mean it's not real. He's real whether you can figure it out or not. He's real and he loves you. And so I stood up here and I prayed for this lady. And it was the most basic, in my head, powerless, faithless prayer I could have ever prayed in my life. We had a chili cook-off that day. I'll never forget. I love chili. And it's about that time. But the fact was, she came down, she was eating a bowl of chili, and she gave me a big old hug. And I was like, what's that for? She's like, oh, thanks for praying for me. I'm like, you're welcome. Praise God. I'm telling you, I was greener than the grass before you put it in the ground. You know what I mean? Like, I'm turf before turf was turf. I'm like the seed underneath the seed, like trying to figure out if I'm a seed. You know what I mean? That's where I was. And she came and she's like, I just wanted to thank you for praying for me. I'm on my third bowl of chili. I'm like, congratulations. I haven't got one yet. I'm hungry. I'm 6'4", man. I'm hungry when I'm hungry. You know what I mean? If I'm hungry long enough, I'll be hangry. You get it? You know what I'm saying? But she thanked me and I was like, that's great. And she's like, no. She said, you don't understand. She said, I haven't eaten in 3 days. She said, when you prayed for me, God healed my kidneys. It wrecked me. I was already in. But then I'm in. And the closer I get to him, the more I realize I'm in again, because I just want to be in. I want to do what he says to do, say what he says to say, pray for those I'm supposed to pray for, minister where I'm supposed to minister. And if I'm not, it's okay. It wasn't for me. You know what I mean? Because I asked. When's the last time you asked? Sometimes we don't ask because we don't actually want to know the answer. There's a few of us in the room here today that are that way right now. You've got a question for God and you know the answer, but you're afraid to ask it because you're pretty sure you know the answer. You know what I'm saying? He's worth it because you were worth it to him. Ask, seek. Seek, Hebrews 11:6. I already said it. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. A rewarder. It's not all bad stuff, okay? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So seek him. How do I know? Acts. I'm going to have to read fast now. Bear with me. I'm going to have to surmise this. Acts chapter 10, pardon me. Acts chapter 10, Peter has been in prison. And there's a group of people gathered together that are praying. Now, Peter has a vision about unclean animals. Peter has a vision about unclean animals. He's like, Lord, nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth. God says, don't call unclean what I've called clean. He was referring to the Jews and the Gentiles that God, Jesus paid for all of us. And so Peter's in prison, and during this time, Cornelius, this Roman centurion, has a vision. An angel comes to him, actually, and says, go send for this guy, Peter. Peter's going to come tell you stuff that you need to know. And he sends off for Peter, right? Cornelius is seeking an answer. The answer is in Peter, but he doesn't know what the answer is yet. Peter is seeking, why did I have this vision? Why did I have this? What does this mean, Lord? He's seeking God. Sometimes we got to get in the Word and say, what does this mean, Lord? We got to get before him in prayer. What does this mean, Lord? We got to go on a mission trip. Like Jeremy's coming with me and say, "What? Why am I here, Lord?" We've got to move our feet to get to a place that we're seeking. Who played hide and go seek as a kid? Who still plays hide and go seek as a kid? Ah, got your hand up. You know what I mean? When you played hide and go seek, the only person that was not moving was the person hiding. You can't find anything you don't actually move to look for. But in hide and go seek, if the answer in God, nothing's hidden that's hidden. You know what I mean? In him, everything's revealed if you want it bad enough, if you seek for him, if you decide that he's enough. He'll reveal everything you need to know. He'll never give you more than you can handle in a moment with him. But it'll be more than you can handle on your own without him. And when you play hide and go seek, someone's hide, but I got to walk. Like if she hid, don't hide. It's all right. And I'm over here, say the lights were all off, and there's a small wall between her and I. If I never move that way, I'm never going to find it. Do you hear what I'm saying? If we never move towards what he said to do, or when we seek him, if we never move towards it, how are we ever going to find that which we're asking for in the first place? I got to ask, I got to seek, and I got to knock. Maybe I hear behind there and there's a door. I got to knock on the door. Are you in there? We got to seek, we got to knock. Peter is in prison. They're praying for Peter. Peter comes out of prison and he starts knocking on the door. That's a whole different, I'm getting ahead of myself. Seek. Peter, Cornelius' house. Ha. So I get all spun up in the things of God. I get all excited because he's talking to me as much as he's talking to some of you here today. I've got to be reminded of this. We're about to go to India. I needed reminded of the fact that I still got to ask, seek, and knock. And when I'm in India, I got to ask, I got to seek, I got to knock. But I got to believe that he's with me, that he's with us, that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that he has my back in a foreign nation. I've got to believe. We've got to meet him with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Acts 10, 17 through 20. Said, now Peter wondered within himself what the vision he had seen meant, and behold, the men who had sent from Cornelius' house came and knocked on his door. Came and got Peter, took him to Cornelius' house. Now, I want you to hear what happens when you seek. This is just one example. When you seek the things of God, you're going to get an answer, and sometimes it's going to blow your mind. Actually, most of the time, it's going to blow your mind. If you seek with a fervent heart, you know what happens? Peter shows up and preaches the gospel. He just preaches the gospel that Jesus is who he said he was, that he is the Son of God, that God created everything, that he died on a cross, that he was raised on the third day. That's what Peter tells Cornelius and his family. Cornelius was a devout man, but listen to what happens when you seek diligently. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is what happens in verse 44, chapter 10 of Acts. It says, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Peter didn't lay a hand on nobody. He preached the gospel. Peter sought the answer in God. He was seeking why God brought him there. And then he obeyed once he found what he was supposed to find. He obeyed by saying the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is costing him and eventually gets him thrown in prison. He's obedient to the point of separation from reality. What do I mean by that? He did what God said to do. When you start following and doing what God says to do, sometimes you're going to feel like, is this even real? Why? Because we can't figure it out. That's why you got to ask, and then you got to seek, and you got to knock. We walk by faith, not by sight. How do you get to somewhere you're seeking in the Spirit if you're walking in the natural all the time? You got to walk in the Spirit. And if you don't know how to do that, go to 9 o'clock classes and learn. Find somebody who you know is walking in the Spirit. Be discipled. The modern age, everyone wants to be the person in charge. They want to be, oh, follow me. I'll create an Instagram, follow me. I'll create a Facebook, follow me. No, follow those who imitate Christ. That walk in his love, not perfect people. People that have the love of perfection in them that are not afraid to use their words or their actions to display to somebody else that Jesus loves them. Peter saw an amazing miracle happen right in front of his eyes where even the Gentiles, remember, the dream was don't call unclean what I've called clean. Some of us got to stop calling things unclean that are clean. He called them clean. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. You can't see God doesn't mean he's not real. Sometimes we need to put our eyes of judgment down and stop calling things unclean that are already called clean in him. Knock. I'll wrap this up. Acts chapter 12. I'm just preempting the Acts Sunday school, I guess. This is all in here. I'm assuming this is you're going to get a lot of this in the class. So when he had considered this, Acts chapter 12, verse 12 through 16. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother. This is Peter. Now, let me fast forward. Remember I said what Peter's preaching is going to get him thrown in prison? At this point, he's in prison. And an angel comes to him while he's in prison, opens the doors, takes off his shackles, and leads him out into the middle of the town. Now, during this time, there's a whole group in a house praying for Peter. Think your prayers don't have power? Think you don't need to pray together sometimes? Who cares if you all pray differently? It doesn't matter. Are you not God's child just like I am? Are you not just as filled with the Holy Spirit as I am? Did he give you a partial spirit, me a full spirit, or me a partial spirit and you a full spirit? No, he gave us the same spirit to lead our spirits. And Peter comes and he knocks on the door. Oh, that's an Amish drive-by. Never mind. He knocks on the door. I heard a bad joke. I'm sorry. It just popped into my head when I made that noise. It's so terrible. Get it together, Dorsh. Oh, my gosh. I can't unhear the joke in my head. Can I just tell you the joke and get it over with? All right. So anyway, so Acts chapter 12. So Peter's knocking on the door, and this girl comes and answers the door, and she freaks out because Peter's in prison, but Peter's not in prison. He got let out, and he's knocking on the door. Peter's knocking on the door, and she goes back in, doesn't even let him in. Some of you did that with Jesus a time or two. Some of us still do that with Jesus when he's knocking on something in our lives and we don't want to give it to him. We shut the door in his face. Oh, it's Jesus. Right? I mean, we do that sometimes. Jesus knocking on a door in your house in a room that you tried to close and throw all your dirt into so no one could see it. Look at my pristine house. And he comes knocking on that door. And you see, you open it, you're like, nope. So Peter keeps knocking. Eventually, he's let in, and they celebrate that Peter was released from prison. He then leaves, smart man. But the fact is, you got to knock for a door to be opened. You got to knock. It's asking, seeking, knocking. You can't remove one from the other. You got to knock for a door to be opened. Last scripture, and then I'm going to close. Second to last scripture, sorry. I love the Word of God. I hope you do too. Revelations chapter 3, verse 20. Again, another famous scripture. Behold, this is Jesus again, red letters. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I have overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Yea, though I stand at the door and knock, anyone who answers, I will come in. I answered that door knock at about 28 years old, 29, 28, I don't know. Right around Christmas time, I answered the door. I answered the door because God was knocking on my heart. The Holy Spirit was knocking inside of me. Knock, knock. I'm here. You don't have to suffer this way anymore. You don't have to live this way anymore. Knock, knock. Just let me in. I love you. Knock, knock. And in a fairly violent fit of tears and snot and whatever else was coming out of my face, I answered the door. Some of you need to answer the door to Jesus today. Some of you who opened it once and kind of started to close it, need to swing it back wide open. All hail, King Jesus. Whether you want to open your door or not, at some day your knee will bow and confess that he is Lord. And the truth is that when we open the door, he comes in. And when he comes in, he'll only take what we give him. You know why? Because he loves you. He loves you with the love that I'm not convinced any human being is quite fully capable of understanding. He loves you with the love that I could clean your old house for you, but if you want me to just sit in this chair, oh, that's where I'll stay. And for some of us, we let him sit in the chair for a while, maybe gave him access to one of our rooms, but we soon then kind of started to usher him out. He started to kind of feel like he's overstaying his welcome because he was asking stuff from us that we didn't want to let go. Because see, sometimes we like what we are because we don't want to become something we don't know. I'd implore you today, become something you don't fully understand, which is a child of God, completely free, living for him, unabated to him, and obeying everything he's told you to do. Depression actually can be comfortable. Anxiety can actually become comfortable because you know it and it makes you feel like, oh, I am me. I'm okay. No. Let him have it. See, the things with things when we know, you know, I was an athlete for years. of my life. We were just talking with my mom about it the other day. I was in sports year-round all the time, stinking crazy sports, like 7 a year sometimes. Summer this, summer that, winter this, fall this, spring that. You know what I'm talking about. That was my identity when I joined the Navy. That became my identity, but I'm still an athlete. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the things that start when we're young stick in us, and we don't want to get rid of them because they're familiar. This has nothing to do with what I want to say, but I believe God's speaking to a few of you right now. Some of you have held on to identities that aren't who you are in Christ Jesus because they're comfortable, and becoming who He's called you to be is unknown and unfamiliar, and it's scary, and that's okay. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not pulling you out to leave you high and dry. He's calling you out so that He can reveal more to you, but you got to take one step. You got to seek once. You got to have faith of a mustard seed like I did one time in one moment, in one history in my life where I actually said, I'll try it. And you got to step out and realize that He loves you too much to do that to you. Or to let you stay that way, but He's not going to force you because He loves you. How crazy is that? He loves you so much, He's never going to force you to decide. He's never going to force you to pray for somebody. He's never going to force you to lay hands on someone. He's never going to force you to prophesy. He's never going to force you to preach. He's never going to force you to do these things. He's going to let you choose whether you want Him or you want you. I remember that choice well. I remember the moment that I didn't want to be me anymore. Not because I wasn't great, I was awesome. Just joking, I really wasn't. But because He loved me that much and I knew He had something for me that I didn't understand or didn't know, but I sought Him. I asked, I seeked, and I knocked. See, knocking is a two-way street. We got to knock. And I'll close with this, and this is why. I said that 5 times. We got to knock. You know, my dog, some of you know Samson. He's basically the best dog in the world. No offense to dog lovers. Mine's better. And Samson comes up, and he'll, while you're eating, now he never used to do this. Shame on his puppy grandparents. They broke his good habits into bad ones. I'm just joking. But they're in here, so I can say that. But the fact is, like, he'll come sometimes, you know, your dog ever do it where he'll lay his head on your knee while you're eating? That's the equivalent of a dog knocking. You know what I mean? That's like a dog knocking. And I, you know, sometimes I'm like, get away, go lay down. But, you know, I'm a sucker for the things that I love. You know, God loves the things that He loves, and you are it. If you knock, He'll give you. Just don't doubt that He is who He says He is. And this is why I always thought this group of scriptures was weird, because all this came hinged on the therefore. In verse 12 of Matthew 7, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And when I was preparing for today, I was like, Lord, why is that the way it ends? Why is that the way that bit ends? The two don't seem to fit to me. He did it because earlier in chapter 6, He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the lights to be set upon a hill. You know, when you're in Christ Jesus, if you received Him and walk with Him, if you ask and seek and you knock, He's going to give you things. He's going to give you revelations. Maybe He's going to bless you with finances. Maybe He's going to bless you with many connections. What are you doing with them? What are we doing with the things that God gives us when we ask and we seek and we knock? Are we keeping them for ourselves? Or are we giving them away? Freely you've been given. Freely give. None of us deserve the love of Christ. None of us. I don't care how good you think you are. Our best days is filthy rags at his feet. Why would you ask and you seek and you knock just for yourself? Wouldn't it be better to ask and seek and knock so you can share the love of God and the life of Christ? That you can share your life with the world around you. He loved you enough to share his life with you by giving it up on Calvary so that you could be free the rest of your days. I'm not trying to end heavy, but what I am saying is that God loves you. Some of you in here need to be reminded of that. That hit me a couple weeks ago when we were ministering here, how much God loves you. You want to ask? Ask without doubting. But ask knowing that when you receive, it's not just yours to have. It's yours to give. And if I'm being really honest with you, the more I receive, the more I give, the more alive I feel. The more I receive, the more I give, the more free I feel. The more I receive, the more I give, the more love I feel. Ask, seek, knock, and give. This life is but a vapor. It really is. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. Why not empty yourselves out for his glory? Because he emptied his glory out for your sake. So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you are good. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to the cross. But that he was born and he was you. That he was born effectively again. He was raised from the dead. Not so that he could just be great, so that he could pave the way where there seemed to be no way for us to be free, for us to be alive, for us to have a God, not a system of man, but to have a God that hears us when we ask and has the answer. That really isn't hiding if we seek for him. That will come in if we knock, if we open the door. With our eyes closed right now, I just feel the Lord giving opportunity to people. Maybe there's some things you've been holding on to because they're familiar. But you know that the Holy Spirit's been knocking on your door. Just open your heart right now to him. Give him access to the room. Give him access to the things that you don't want to let go of, because what he has for you is far greater. Far greater. Seek him and you'll find him. Ask for wisdom. Ask for more faith. Ask for these things of the Lord. He's not man. He won't be mocked. He loves you. He wants to give you the things and the keys of the kingdom. Just ask him. Right now, just ask him. Maybe you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about. Maybe you're kind of looking at me like I got six heads. That's okay. You don't have to say some certain prayer. You just got to believe. Do you believe that he is who he says he is? I And I know I heard the word depression and anxiety. It's been swirling around the atmosphere. And if that's you because you've carried it, today's your day. Now is the moment of freedom in Jesus' name. Just open your hands to heaven with me if you would. And together to encourage one another, but because we're never alone and we've never made it until we've made it. Just say, I believe. Father, I believe that you are good and that you are God. Father, I believe that those in here today have received you, Lord. I believe, Father. I believe that you've given us your word. I believe that you've given us your son, Jesus. I believe, Lord. I believe that you've given us purpose and a reason to live for you. Father, I believe that you've given me the answers to the questions I ask. Father, I believe that I'll find you when I seek you. Father, I believe that you're on the other side of the door when I knock or when you knock and it's opened. Say, I believe. Father, I thank you that you are so amazing. You're lovely. And you're a king. All hail King Jesus. Lord of the heavens and the earth. All hail King Jesus, the Savior of the world. Lord, I pray that this Labor Day would be a time where people can just be with you, be with family and friends, and be blessed in the name of Jesus. And the saints of the Lord said, Amen. If you need prayer, I'm assuming the prayer team is going to be up here after service. Take time to talk to someone you haven't met. If you want any information on Rise Nations, you can go to the back desk back there. But have a great weekend. And just so you know, the NFL starts fairly soon. God bless you all, and thank you.